Lord, we've already prayed for those who are ill this time, Lord. We lift them to you again now, Lord, and just pray that as together we say amen, we lift all these folk to you, Lord, that you will reach down and heal them, Lord. We lift them to you now in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, that with you all things are possible. Nothing is impossible for you. Lord, you know our hearts, you know our minds, you know our desires. Lord, you know everything. So, Lord, we pray that as we gather together around your table this evening, Lord, you just join us together in that fellowship of all those who put their faith and their trust in you. That we may indeed be part of the body of Christ, united, focused on Jesus, and worshipping him, and giving him all the thanks, all the praise, and all the glory. So let's pray together the Lord's Prayer as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory, forever. Amen. This morning we were thinking about those things which are ungodly, which are part of our lives that we want to be free from. We're focusing on adultery, on pornography, on a whole variety of sins. And Lord, we bring them before you now and just say, Lord, come and cleanse us. So in a few moments of quiet, let's bring those things in our life that we know to be wrong before the Lord, so he can forgive us and we can then join together in fellowship around the Lord's table. Let's just be quiet as we bring them to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are faithful and just, that you will forgive us our sins when we truly repent, that you'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we've just prayed together, forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our sins. So, Lord, we just claim your forgiveness now through our faith in Jesus, the one who paid the ultimate price for our sins, who died on the cross at Calvary, so that our sins might be washed away. So when God looks on us, he sees us in Jesus, as joint heirs. Lord, we praise you and worship you for this miracle of yours, Lord. We celebrate, Lord, that with you all things are possible, that we are forgiven and set free from the slavery to sin. So we want to thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we praise you, it is right. It is our duty and our joy at all times and all places to praise you, Heavenly Father. We thank you that we have that freedom to come together this afternoon to do just that, to worship you and to praise you. We thank you that you are almighty, that you are eternal. We thank you that Jesus is indeed your living word. We thank you that through him you created all things. All things, the whole wide world in the universe. We thank you that you freed us from the slavery of sin. We thank you that you raised Jesus from the dead, exalted him to your right hand on high. And through him, you sent upon us your holy and life-giving spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we follow his example and obey his command, grant by the power of your Holy Spirit these gifts of bread and wine may be unto us his body and his blood. In the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, broke it, gave you thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So, Heavenly Father, accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanks. And as we can drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your spirit. Inspire us with your love and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So to you, Heavenly Father, be your blessing and honor and glory and power, now and forever. Amen. We'll eat the bread as we're served. Everyone being served. We're going to be served with the wine, and we'll wait till we've all been served, and then we'll drink it together as a sign of our unity in Christ. blood of Christ cleanses us from all our sins. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you've set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We'll sing something now while we collect up our glasses. And the offering basket is here. If you'd like to bring your offering out today and put it in the basket at the same time, that would be great.
Right, let's stand and sing a great song about God's saving power, When I Was Lost.
I was lost, you came and rescued me. Reached down into the pit and lifted me. Oh Lord, such love, I was as far from you as I could be. In all the things I've ever done, but Jesus' blood has cancelled everyone. Oh Lord, such grace to qualify me as your own. There is a new song in my mouth. There is a deep cry in my heart. A hymn of praise to Almighty God. Hallelujah. On this rock, my life is hidden now. With Christ in God, the old has gone, and the new has come. Hallelujah. Your love has rescued me. Now I have come into your family. For the Son of God has died for me. Oh Lord, such peace, I am as loved by you as I could be. In the full assurance of your love, now with every confidence to come. Oh Lord, such joy to know that you delight in us. It's a new song in my mouth. There is a deep cry in my heart. A hymn of praise to Almighty God. Hallelujah. And now I stand firm on this rock. My life is hidden now. With Christ in God, the old has gone, and has come. Hallelujah. Your love has lifted me. Your love has lifted me. Your love has lifted me.
And Heavenly Father, we pray for Dennis as he comes to bring us your word for this day, Lord, for this afternoon. Lord, that our hearts may be open to receive it, Lord. Our eyes may be focused on Jesus and him alone. So anoint Dennis afresh with your Holy Spirit, even at this moment, Lord, that you do just that. Bring us your word for today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members. It doesn't stop there. Put to death your members which are on the earth. It's not talking about church members, as you will see. This is not a message to pastors. Put to death your members which are on the earth. And it goes on to say, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I touched on some of these things this morning when I was preaching about holiness. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Well, I just want to talk about the back half of that chapter, verses 18 to the end of the passage. I think they're probably the most controversial and difficult bits there. So we'll try to just deal with those. This is a very practical passage. And before we can plant the word, we need to clear the ground. And I will try to do that through making just four general remarks about the last few verses of this chapter. Firstly, Jesus is referred to as Lord or Master several times. And whether or not he really is our Lord and Master will be shown in the way we live our lives. Secondly, if you look back at verse 11, it points out that old distinctions are gone. Verse 11 tells us there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, and so the verse goes on. And what that is really saying is that cultural, racial, and gender differences are not obstacles to being accepted by God. Everyone is equal in Christ, regardless of their status in the world. And yet, having said that, the apostle goes on to explain some of the different roles that we find within the family. The third general remark I want to make is that relationships should be two-way. And the instructions in Colossians 3 show a special concern, in particular, for three groups of people who were really denigrated and devalued in the first century culture. Christianity has something positive to say about the role of women. It has something positive to say about children. and when truly embraced, leads to the abolition of slavery, and I believe better relations in the workplace between employer and employee. And Monica, who's here today but going off to Kenya tomorrow, was saying at the 10:30 service, Monica, just stand up and give us a wave. Not everybody knows who you are. This is Monica. If you don't know her, she does a fantastic work all over the place. And when she's not doing that, she's resting here in Batum, preparing other stuff for her next... How many journeys have you made abroad? Have you kept count? Nearly 40. That's pretty good going, isn't it? Your 40th missionary journey coming up, or whatever. But Monica was saying that one of the things she hopes to do in the next couple of weeks is to be teaching about the place of children, because in the culture to which she goes in Kenya, children are really not treated terribly well. They're a step up from the animals and a step down from the women, but apart from that, they're not treated very well at all. And, you know, she's going to be teaching what the scripture has to say about children, and that's really important. And we take a lot of things for granted in this country, and especially the strides that have been made in the last 200 years. And let's not forget the part the evangelical church has played in those changes that we accept as normal and good. And then the fourth general point I want to make is that there's practical help for families today. So let's just look in a little more detail at these verses. Straight in at the deep end, God's plan for marriage. Ideally, marriage is a partnership with each partner fulfilling a different role. And Colossians 3, verse 18 starts there with the duty of wives. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. There is probably no teaching in the Bible more controversial in our society today than of a wife's submission to her husband. In fact, I was thinking the other day, I don't think I've ever heard this at Battle Baptist Church, or not for a long while. I hope the next time it comes up, it falls to Francis's lot to teach it. But it didn't. And the concept of submission is taught in many places in the Bible. And it doesn't mean slavery, and it doesn't imply inferiority. The Greek word means this. It means to arrange oneself under a delegated authority. And it comes from the military world, where soldiers were to be in order under the direction of their officer. And this is quite similar to what Paul prays the believers for in Colossians 2, chapter 5, where he says, I delight to see how orderly you are. Some time ago, a Gallup poll was taken in this country on the subject, on this particular teaching, and it showed that 69% of the public disagreed with the statement that wives should graciously submit to the servant leadership of their husbands. But the fact that a teaching isn't popular out there, it's no reason for it to be discarded or ignored in here. And I guess what Paul is talking about here is the idea of entrusting oneself to the leadership of somebody else in order that a task gets done. There are some of us here this afternoon who are husbands, and before we start gloating and sticking this wife up with this verse up on our wife's mirror at home, we need to look at verse 19, where it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And throughout the Bible, God says more about the quality of the husband's leadership than he does about the wife's submission. I think in many ways, the responsibility for a good marriage is often put more on the husband. It seems to me, in most of the things I've come across since I've been pastor here, more often than not, mega problems in marriages seem to be caused by the husband's inability to grow up and actually accept the role that God wants him to take as a man and to leave behind his boyhood and being one of the boys. I know that's not always the case, but I have to say that that's what I've noted more often than not. I think when marriages go wrong, it's often the result of a husband's inability to really love his wife instead of the wife's refusal to be submissive. And most women, when you can get them in a mellow moment, ladies, some of you have said this to me, but women in a mellow moment will often say they'd be really willing to follow the leadership of a man who loves them as Christ loves the church. The word husband originally meant one who holds the house together. Another image is that of a gardener who cultivates the soil and whose job is to keep the weeds out. And if we are husbands here today, our responsibility is to love our wives by trying to hold things together and providing an atmosphere for growth and love and fruitfulness in our homes. And in verse 19, husbands are challenged not to be harsh with their wives. That can be translated, don't become embittered or resentful towards her. It means that even if a wife is not perfectly submissive, the husband shouldn't become resentful. Husbands need to try to prevent a sour attitude from taking root. And the only other time this word is used in the New Testament, it refers to something bitter in taste. What Paul's saying here is that a husband shouldn't call their wife honey and then act if those women were vinegar, you know? God's principle for parenting, moving on. Paul addresses the relationship between children and parents in verses 20 to 21. Children, obey your parents and everything, for this pleases the Lord. I think we really have a responsibility if we have children, especially whilst they're young, to train them. They are not born knowing what to do. It all has to be put into them one way or another. And that's where training comes in and instilling discipline. Children, I believe, have a duty to listen, carry out the instructions of their parents. And the word here means that their obedience should be habitual and ongoing. And I think one of the things I have to say, I've noticed a huge difference. I don't know if you've seen this, Monica, but huge difference between what I would call a white church and a black church. Huge difference. I mean, I do not know what Nigerian parents do, even the ones living in this culture, to instill discipline in their children, but it's normally pretty good. And I have to say, it's something that I think often we're not always so good at. The Bible says that when a child is obedient, then the Lord is pleased. And it says here, there's a promise that if children are obedient, that it will go well with them and that they may enjoy a long life on earth. And obedience brings God's pleasure and it comes with God's promise. And children need to be taught the importance of this and the importance of just accepting the leadership of their parents. I had the misfortune to be trained to teach when everything was child-centered education. Are we back at child-centered education again? Because it's a long time since I've been in the classroom. Everything was centered on the child and what the child wanted. And I thought, this is sheer madness. How can a five-year-old know what they want? They need to be trained. They need to be taught. They need to be educated. They need to have things instilled in them. I don't believe it's all there just waiting for a skillful teacher to draw it out. Sometimes stuff needs to be put in so that it can then come out. But I think what we mustn't do with children is to ignore them. We've got to be very careful in the church as grown-ups. You know, I've had young children here, so I know what it's like. Service is over, you really want to have a talk about something. You've got these kids kicking around your ankles. What better thing to do than to let them go off and riot somewhere quietly elsewhere in the building? You know, it's very easy to slip into that, but we shouldn't do that. We can't afford to ignore our children. We know parenting is a full-time job. I sometimes wish it wasn't, but it is. As Mike Pilavachi says in his annual talk to the teenagers at Soul Survivor, think long and hard before taking any action that might cause you to become a parent, because it's 5 minutes of fun followed by a lifetime of responsibility, which I always think is very interesting coming from a single man, but there you go. But we shouldn't ignore our children. I think also we need not to insult them. And we need not to intimidate them. So, you know, there's a lot there, but I think parenting needs to be approached with determination and love and prayers. And nobody says it's going to be easy, but I believe it is worthwhile. And on the positive front, if we're in the position here of having children, realize that your children are a gift from God, which has been entrusted to you. Train your children to grow up to become the men and women that God wants them to be, and it won't happen automatically. Let your children know that you support them. And also, make sure you're living a positive Christian life so that you are a good role model to them. You know, everybody knows the difference between what Dad says in the church and how Dad behaves at home. As my children have pointed out to me on the odd occasion. And it's important that we maintain a good role model. And then children do need to be corrected with firm and fair discipline. And then the last thing this passage talks about is the whole slavery business, beginning in verse 22, teaching about slaves and their masters. I'm not suggesting for a second that the Lord thinks that slavery is a good idea, but the Roman Empire, like many ancient cultures, was built around slavery. You know, we look at some of the things the Romans did and some of the things they invented. If you go to Pompeii, there's a place where they'll show you what they say was a Roman ice cream shop, which is very, very interesting because the Romans didn't know anything about refrigeration, but they knew something about building ice houses. But of course, most people weren't enjoying the ice cream. Most people weren't enjoying the underfloor central heating. Underfloor central heating in a Roman villa only worked if you've got half a dozen slaves keeping everything stoked up down below. So the whole society was built around slavery. Most homes had slaves, and the Colossian church probably had both slaves and slave owners. These verses helped the beginning of the undermining of slavery as an acceptable way of treating people. And it has been a very bumpy ride since then, and the journey certainly isn't complete today. But progress has been made as the effects of the gospel have rippled round the world. And these verses help to bring about change from the inside. The Roman Empire ultimately lost its commitment to slavery as the gospel penetrated further into the culture. But what does this say to us today? Well, I think it says, do your best at your job at all times. We're to work hard, not just when the boss is around, but even when he isn't. We're to work well out of reverence for God. Work has a value because it is God ordained. You know, the scripture says in one place, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. I always find that a very good principle when people come knocking at the door and they want a handout. I've been quite glad down the years. I've got quite a big lawn that needs cutting. And if people want to knock on my door and ask me to give them something, I normally show them the lawnmower and see how where they're going to work. Because the Bible says, if a man wants to eat, he should work. And I think that's a very important principle. And we need to work well out of reverence for God. We need to recognize, ultimately, Jesus is our boss. And Jesus is our master. We need to work as his servant in our particular work, which means we should never be sloppy or unethical. And we need to understand that eternal rewards are coming. When we put God's principles into practice, we're told that eternal compensation, we're told that when we put these things into practice, there's verse 24, the Lord will give you as a reward what he has kept for his people. You could call it an out-of-this-world benefits package. Colossians 4:1, which is really where the passage ends, provides a challenge for employers as well. It says, masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. When I was preparing this, just as a throwaway thought, I don't have the answer to this, but it would be interesting to know it. I wondered if this verse was the basis on which the feudal system in this country was operated for so many hundreds of years. The principle of the feudal system was that every person had to have a lord. everybody in society had to have somebody over them, right the way up to the king or queen, who was then seen as functioning under God's authority. I don't know whether they built that from Colossians 4:1, but it's an interesting thought. Just some practical steps to close with. Firstly, if you're in a married relationship, then invest in it. I sent an invitation out to every member of the church who is a member here, who is married, whether their partner comes or not, about a marriage course I'm hoping to run next year to help make good marriages even better. I've got several couples already booked in for that, but marriage is something worth investing in. I tell you what, it's cheaper to invest in marriage than a divorce. Cheaper, a lot easier to come to the marriage course than to have a relationship fall apart and end up divorced. Family is a wonderful thing, and if you're fortunate enough to have a family or relatives, invest in them. Employees, try to picture Jesus as your boss this week. Think through how your work will be different when you see him behind the desk of your supervisor. If you're in a position of being an employer, then pray for those under you by name this week and ask them from time to time if they think you're treating them fairly. So, because everything we do, whether it's in marriage, in the family, in the workplace, must be done in recognition that Christians have the Lord Jesus over them, and their aim is to please him. Amen.
Well, that should keep us talking over coffee or tea or whatever, should it? A few notices while the band reassemble. We've been doing a lot of preaching and teaching on outreach over these last 2 months almost. Well, in that same context, Christmas cards have now been printed for us to deliver to the people around whom, where we live, in the area we live. If you can help with distribution of Christmas cards, please, please, please have a word with Pat Nolan. Give her your name and tell you which little area you're going to cover. That'd be a great part of our outreach leading up to Christmas. On Tuesday here at 2 o'clock, there's a Thanksgiving service for Brian Brightiff. Please continue to pray for Shirley and the family, that the Lord will comfort them and uphold them as they prepare particularly for that day. Now Mark's here on the drums. For those of us who are gluttons for punishment, he's going to speak to us at the, aren't we? I think so. At the men's breakfast on Saturday at 8 o'clock, as well as a full English, you get to hear from Mark. That's all for a cost of £4. That's next this coming Saturday, the 24th. Also next Saturday, we need one driver to drive a minibus to go with the first team football club up to Chelmsford St. Peter. If you can help, have a word with Andy. And finally, there's a note there about sports reach for next year, which seems a long way off. But I know Andy has to make a decision before Christmas as to whether or not we can go ahead with this. It's doing the football as we've done in the past, but also adding also a netball school for the ladies as well, for young girls, whatever. So again, if you can help any of those ways, please let Andy know. He'd be very pleased to hear from you, I know. Now we're going to close with Amazing Grace, are we? Let's stand and sing it together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, for me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secure. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who called you is faithful, and he will do it. Let's bless one another in the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. Amen. I'm sure you know where the refreshments are.